This is going to be part three of a series. Okay, the name of this particular Bible study is Stages of a Christian's Growth. I want you to get this thought in your mind. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, "Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking," which means that that's a full-time job all by itself, right? It says, "as newborn babes, with that open expectation that comes from being new, desire the sincere milk of the Word of God in order that you might grow." Amen? To receive the promises of God, you got to grow up. Do you get this? In order to receive the promises of God, you have to grow up. Growing up has nothing to do with how many years you've been going to church. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you get some kind of seniority depending on how long you've been in church. What it says very simply is that you need to desire the sincere milk of the Word of God in order that you might grow. So in the end, in order to receive the fulfillment of the promises of God, you have got to do what? Grow up. And the only way to grow up is to eat the Word of God and practice it in your life. Don't be a hearer of the Word, but be a doer. Now you may have a great brain for memory, but have a poor brain for self-control. Amen? I mean, you can memorize everything, but you can't practice none of it, so what good is it? So, while we're desiring the sincere milk of the Word of God, we must be putting it into practice as we go forward in our life. Why? So that we can enter into all of the blessings and our destiny that God has for us. Are you getting this? Okay, so this is Stages of a Christian's Growth. Alright, now I passed out a little sheet here. And there's a lot of people that think they're more than they are. Right? I'm here to tell you, I don't care if you've been in church 20 years. You fall into one of these categories. Sometimes you've been further along and you fall back. Right? But if these are some of the things that you practice, I assure you that's where you're at. How many people know that in order for us to truly grow, we must also become leaders? Amen?
Amen?
And if you become a leader, you don't do things that'll stumble others. Amen? You don't provoke others. Right? You do things that might challenge them to grow. You're always truthful with them. But hate and bitterness is not in you. It is a teacher that you become as you are showing others the truth that you also must live yourself. There's a lot of people in this room and a lot of people in this world that know a lot of things, and it's easy for them to bring correction into other people's lives, right? But they won't correct their own life. All right. Father, as I bring this study, God, I just ask today that you help me in every way to be that vessel that you can just pour through, Lord. God, I just ask you to take every chunk of my flesh out in order that your Spirit might roam freely within and use me, Lord, today to bring your Word to your people. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Okay, so what we're going to do here is we're going to talk about stages of a Christian's growth. All right. So if you look on here, that says stages of a Christian growth. Let me tell you something. Character and integrity is a must. Do you get that? If you're still a snake in the grass, the chances of you doing a great work for God are very slim. But don't get me wrong, God can use you because He can use a donkey. He can use anybody. But I'm telling you, if you want to do a great work for God, if that is your desire, then you can't be a person without godly character and integrity. What does that mean? You have got to be known for a person that keeps their word. You got to be known for being a person that not only knows the word, but walks in the word. Amen? Nobody is going to listen to a hypocrite. Right? A hypocrite is one who teaches and preaches or tries to do those things, but themselves do not walk in it. Character and integrity is one of the first things God is going to have you to learn in your life. Amen? Where you're going to have to learn to be committed. What does that mean? You can't be a cornflake for Christ. Nobody's ever going to listen to a cornflake for Christ. You can't sit there and go run downtown and sit there and act like you're some kind of self-righteous whatever and then end up there in a month and expect anybody to have any kind of respect for anything you say. Did you get that? You can't expect anybody to listen to anything you got to say unless you consistently walk what you talk. Does that make sense? Why would anybody want to listen to somebody who just got a mouth? Everybody got a mouth, and we can all use them for whatever we want. But a person that has character of God and integrity, which means they are what they appear to be. Now that is somebody that whether people like them or not, they will listen to them. Amen? So one of the first things you got to learn is character and integrity. How many people believe that? That in order to be listened to, you must have that in your life. Alright? Okay, let me just start right here. Saved. Saved. What does that mean? It means that you accept Jesus. Alright? What does that mean? You blew it bad for years and years probably. And you fell down on your face and you said, God, help me. Amen? And so you say the sinner's prayer, and if you meant it, you get saved. God comes in and forgives you your sin, and He accepts you as His child. Now, how much do you know about God? Nothing! Not a stinking thing! You're not even sure what you did. Let's be real. How many people remember the day they got saved? You remember an emotional experience, a touch of God, somebody telling you to say something, and you said it, and then your life started to change. But how well did you know God at that moment? I didn't know nothing. I didn't know nothing, and I wasn't even in church. The way I got saved is I just told God, if you'll get me out of this stinking bed, I'll serve you all my days. I didn't even say Jesus. What do you think about that? But yet I know at that very moment, because of the condition of my heart, I know that I know that I know that was a changing point in my life. Why? Because I got out of bed the next day. Amen? And I was so thankful, and I started to read the Bible. Immediately I had a craving desire for the things of God, but I was so stupid, I started in Genesis. It took me about 2 or 3 months before I got to Matthew. Are you hearing me? But the reason why I know I was saved is number one, I said it, I meant it, He heard it, He healed me, He got me out of bed, and I started reading His Word because I had a desire for Him. You hear me? If you say you get saved and the next day nothing happens, then you just had some kind of an emotional fling. And there's many people in the church today that live on emotional flings, but that does not mean they're saved. You get it? So you get saved, right? And that when you get saved is just the start. start. What does that mean? It just means, like I just said, I said it. I didn't really know what I was doing. You know, I went to church about 3-4 months later, and they thought I got saved in church because they had me say some perfunctory prayer. Did I say that right? Close enough. It's just a prayer they have you to say. They call it the sinner's prayer. But if your heart isn't in it, it don't mean nothing anyway. Amen? It's all about a heart thing. Right? I mean, by the time I got through Matthew or Mark or Luke or John or something, I knew about Jesus. Okay? And I just accepted it because, you see, God had come into my life, and when that happens, the Word of God is opened up to you, and you can start to understand what you're reading, although not perfectly. Amen? All right, so I started to learn. Okay, the next thing that happens to you is you become a carnal Christian. And the next two categories are where most Christians stay all their life. Now, yesterday I gave a Bible study on what? The tabernacle. And I told you and showed you a progression that was a representation in the tabernacle. All right? You get into the outer courtyard, you know, hey, you're now one of God's people, but you aren't going no further. Right? And back then, you had to be of the right family in order to go further, but because of the blood of Jesus, we can all go all the way. But you ain't going nowhere unless you desire to go somewhere. And you aren't going any further than this category unless you decide that you want to truly become a high priest of God. You want to truly elevate yourself in the things of God. Amen? So what it says right here is that a carnal Christian professes Christianity, but may smoke, right? May drink, do dope, right? Lust, cuss, shoe fits, put it on, backbite, murmur and complain. Man, I'm hearing it all the time when I'm walking around. Murmuring and complaining. Nobody wants to be around a sniveler. How are you going to lead somebody to the Lord if you're always whining about it yourself? Amen? Well, God's so mean to me. Grow up! I mean, walk in the promises instead of looking at the promises. Amen? Get out of your stinking cradle. Get off the titty bucket. Feed yourself. Amen? Well, my pastor don't teach me. Well, I got some bad news for you. My pastor didn't teach me. God taught me. Amen? How come? Because I sought Him with my everything. Because I desired to grow up and walk in the blessing. Amen? I said, no matter what, I'm going to get the whole thing. And if nobody else wants it, too bad for them. Huh? Quit blaming people because you're spiritually lazy. Right? Just get it. So a carnal Christian may smoke, may drink. I'll learn how to spell someday. Do dope, lust, cuss, backbite, murmur, complain, and have no work ethic. If you really love God, you can't do enough for Him. Did you guys get that? That's why I tell you all the time, I'm not starting a new ministry called Slugs for Christ. What do I mean? If you're a slug, put that shoe on and know you really don't love God. Huh? Did you get that? I meant it too. If all you want to do is be a BSer, then get back out there in the world and get it. They're full of professional BSers out there with no work ethic, with no true love. Nobody really listens to them. They just run their ratchet jobs every day on the corner, and people walk by them shaking their head every day wondering if that person will ever get a life. You don't have a life. You need to get a life in Christ. How many people are understanding what I'm saying today? You get it? If you don't love God, you are a slug for Christ. If you are a slug for Christ, you don't love God. Right? Because if you love and appreciate God, that is what gives you your drive. Amen? That's why, you know, carnal Christians, I got people been in church so stinking long, they got mildew on the seat of their pants from sitting in the pews. They sweated they've been in the same spot so long, and mildew grew on their butts. Are you getting that? But I don't care if they've been there 30 stinking years. They're still carnal. Right? You go to their house, you'll see the Bibles in the corner. They're dusty if they have them at all. Amen? The football game is always on. The golf is always on. Sally, Jesse, Raphael is always on. They ain't going nowhere. Except back to their pew to sit on their mold one more time. Come on now. And what do? They complain about the pastor. They complain about the program. They complain about this. They complain about that. And they go home and they're all miserable because of themselves and won't even admit that. Amen? Okay. The next class we go into is, now remember, you've got a desire to go to the next step. Well, once you start, you automatically go here. That ain't no deal. Most everybody in church is a carnal Christian, right? Now the next class here is semi-spiritual. These are the ones that hurt the church the most, probably. They're the ones that really talk about it and really don't do much about it. I also call these people part-time Christians, depending on how their hormones are running that day, depending on how their lusts are running that day for the things of the world, depending on what crowd they hang around that moment. Right? You know, they go to church, and they're Christian. And then when they're out of church, they're a heathen. But they know, now they know some of the Word of God. Now, a semi-spiritual is much worse than a carnal, because a carnal is probably or should be a new convert, right? They're just going through the steps to go forward, but sometimes, like I'm telling you, people know never go past that. And to be honest with you, it is very hard to see if they are a Christian or not, because they don't look much different than when they got saved, right? But semi-spiritual knows the truth, but does what they want. What does that mean? Just what it says. Amen? Knows the truth, but does what they want. What does it mean? They know what the Word of God says. They have even heard the promises. And they kind of believe, but it's inconvenient. It messes with their preferred lifestyle. Right? What's their preferred lifestyle? Self-serving. Oh, their favorite people are twins. They're called me, oh yeah, and then the buddy, I. Right? They don't give a rip about anybody. They're into God mostly to see what they can get out of it. And I'm not even telling you they're not saved. But I'm telling you, they are not spiritual. They are semi-spiritual. They are part-timers. Depending on how the wind blows that day, whether the sun comes up where they want it, they'll go to church or not. Amen? Depending on if the preacher preaches a good sermon or not, they'll tithe. Come on now. How many people have been in churches like that? Full of people just like that. Full. Lock, stock, and barrel hypocrites, everyone. Amen? They go to their little howdy-doody breakfast and they have their brother fellowships and all the rest of that noise and nonsense. Go to Christian yuppie parties. Bless me, bless me, bless me. Oh, you ain't getting nothing out of me. I wasn't blessed enough. Come on now. And I assure you, one of these categories is you. And I'm not done yet, so it might go a little further. Right? But you might have already stopped. Amen? I'm just being honest. You see, you got to know where you're at so that you can see where you got to go. Amen? If you don't know where you're at, you might think you've arrived just because you know the Word of God. If you don't live the Word of God, you ain't arrived. You are semi-spiritual. Amen? And don't come up to me with your head knowledge crap. I may not know what 10 toes are for what on that giant, but I know how to walk out what I do know. I don't go to prophecy conferences because most people that go to prophecy conferences spend all their time in la-la land worrying about things that ain't even yet, but won't take care of their day-to-day business in Christ. Amen? Go over and get blessed, run home and live like hell. What the hate point is that? Right? Now it says here, most Christians fall into this category. Amen? This is the truth. Most Christians. Alright? But I call you a part-timer. And if you're honest with yourself, that's what you are. Well, my wife told me one time, you're either pregnant or you're not. Right? You're either a Christian or you're not. But I'm here to tell you today that some of you ain't figured out if you're a Christian yet. Right? Some days you think you are, and other days you wonder if you are. Can we be honest in this room? Amen? Isn't that right? Some days, man, that's right, and other days you're going, well, I wonder, did I get saved? Look what I just did. You understand? But when you know the Word of God, that brings stability into your life. When you walk out the Word of God, you now are stable in your life. Amen? Alright. So, the next thing that happens, the next step that you must go to, now I'm talking about receiving all the promises. I'm not talking about your chump change. I'm not talking about your, crumbs from the meal. I'm talking about the main course with the fine dessert and the soda pop and, you know, the whole enchilada. You know what I mean? I'm talking about getting all the promises in your life. Alright? That's what I'm talking about. How many of you want all the promises? See, you gotta know where you're at to go where you need to go. Alright? You gotta be honest. You know, there's a lot of people that they quit learning and they fall back. What happens is they just get lazy. Right? They get comfortable. The next stage is where you decide, you finally make the decision to make Jesus Lord of your life. You get that? That is when you finally decide, I've had enough fence walking. I've had enough of this and that. I'm going to get the whole thing. You understand? And that's when you become a serious Christian. That's when you decide that you're going to do this thing and you're going to do it right. That's when you make the decision in your mind that you want the whole thing. Right? Because up till then, you've been kind of playing with it, whether you knew it or not. But then when you decide to make Jesus Lord in your life, which means you'll go where He sends you, you'll submit to authority, no matter what. Did you get that? You see, you have got to submit to authority in order to grow. Because you are a rebel. And until you learn to submit to the authority God puts over you, you are always going to be a rebel. And if you are a rebel, you are not dependable. And if you are not dependable, you are not usable. Did you get that? So Jesus becomes Lord of your life because you finally let Him. It's not that He didn't want to be. It's just that you decided this day to let it be. All right? And this is the stage of fine-tuning. This is when God finally really starts to pour into you visions and dreams, and He starts to teach you what you're going to be about, and you really start to receive what people have been telling you all along. Amen? There's a lot of people that come here and they walk into this room and I teach the same lessons every day. And when they first get here, they're picking their nose and they're looking at the light and they're looking at their watch and they're doing everything except for paying attention. Right? And I recognize it because what it is they're going through the motions, but their heart has not yet arrived. Okay? Until you really want all the blessings of God, and until you decide that you want all the blessings of God, then you are never going to make this decision. And you are never going to be a leader of any consequence, and you are never going to receive your destiny that God has planned for you. Amen? So this is the stage now. You've made the decision. It's fine-tuning. What happens is, now, if you have anything in your life that would stumble you, you cut it loose. Man, woman, child thing. Right? You loose it. You go through your house. You throw everything out that isn't of God. You quit hanging around with those people that aren't of God. Now you're really focusing. Right? Now your life truly starts to come into focus. Okay? Focus is now on your life. You really focus. It's so, so true. How many people relate to this? When this happens, you really start to focus. Your focus is on God, the things of God, and what God would have you to be about, and that has now become your life, and it is evident because Jesus is now Lord in your life. It doesn't mean you don't screw up once in a while, but it becomes less and less and less, and probably not the same issue. Amen? Because God takes you through workshop after workshop after workshop after workshop until you get to where you need to go. Right? So Jesus is now Lord in your life. And at this stage starts leadership training. Right? I didn't say leader. Are you getting this? And what that means is you're taking what you already know and you're applying it. And now when somebody starts to talk to you, you listen to those people you know have been walking with God. And instead of wanting to argue with them, you're trying to get what they've already gotten. Amen? You know, people that argue with me are really wasting their time. Because I'm not going to argue with them. I had a guy come up to me last night, was with me 3 years ago. And he's half smockered. You know what I mean? And he comes up to me and he told me I was the Antichrist and all kinds of stuff. And I'm sitting there looking at him and I'm just as sober as the day is long. And I'm looking at him and I'm going, what are you on? You know what I mean? I can read those books. I've been through that. I go, what are you on? Well, I had a little bit to drink. I go, oh, you're using. He goes, oh, no, I don't do drugs. Well, what the hey is the difference? Amen? And so I had to bring a little correction into his life. And, of course, he's verbally assaulting me and stuff. And I'm telling you, he is still not serious about the things of God. Right? He still is not at that point where he's going to listen or receive. And he misquoted about 100 verses. And told me, well, you know, it's not quite like the Bible says, but this is how I learned it. Yeah, you got a perverted relationship with God. You have a perverted knowledge of His Word, and you live a stinking perverted life. Amen? When you finally decide to make Jesus Lord, you get focused and those things start to fade away. Amen? Because you lose those things in your life because now all you want is Jesus in your life. Did you get it? Why? Because up till here, all you're ever going to be is a member of the congregation. All you're ever going to be is a part-time Christian. Right? But as you grow, then you get to the other side. Now leadership comes into your life. You get it? Now focus comes into your life. Now you quit playing around and you quit trying to justify your sin nature, but you ask God in truth to help you out of it. Amen? So at that point, now Jesus is Lord in your life, and then I'm telling you, you become a sponge all over again, just like when you were here. Right? It's like you find your first love all over again. Because somewhere between here and here, you kind of lose your first love because you're struggling in so many areas to get ahead. That it just becomes a morass of stuff and you're trying to work your way through it. Right? But then once you get to here and you go, you know what? I don't care anymore, whatever it takes. I'm going to learn it. Then you go across this gap, which is the hinge in the growth in your Christian life, and you really get focused and you learn to start truly being a leader in training. Alright? Are you still with me out there? If I missed any toes, I'll get the rest in a minute. Okay? I'm just trying to be real with you. How many people are learning anything? Doesn't it make sense? Don't you get it? You see, you gotta get that focus to be a leader in your life. And you've got to make Jesus Lord in your life, which means He's got the right to rule you, which He always had, but now you can see the point. And when that happens, you now get focused in your life. Alright? Now the next thing is, let's talk about destiny. Now what it says on there is, holy as He would have you to be. Okay? And the reason why I say this is because until you get here, you're trying to practice everything, but you're not quite getting correct. And then in here, you start, all this stuff really just goes away. It goes away. Because now you got focus on Jesus and Jesus alone. So that stuff is peeled off like an onion skin. Right? And then from here, then you really start to receive again. Right? How many people have ever noticed after a year or two, you kind of get callous? Amen? You kind of get callous. You lose your first love to some degree. It becomes a common thing. You know what I mean? It comes something in you that it's like you do it, but if you don't have that fire that you used to have. Right? So what it is when you get to that point and you really make Jesus Lord again, the fire comes back. You become like a sponge all over again. Then when people are pouring into you, you are really receiving once again. Amen? And this is the truth that as you become a leader, that it becomes necessary for you to receive and you acknowledge that. And then you start to live the things the leader is supposed to practice, such as you live an exemplary lifestyle. Instead of sitting there saying, I don't care what anybody thinks. Are you getting this? Well, I don't care what anybody thinks. How many people have heard that and said it? Well, I don't care what anybody thinks. Right? But you see, that is wrong of you if you are to be a leader. Right? You must care what people think. Now, if they're wrong, they're wrong, but you still must care. You must question yourself, am I acting correctly or should I change my behavior pattern in that case? Should I still act like a fool and a jokester, or should I act like a person that truly is a man or woman of God? Are you understanding that? You see, you got to get to that point where you quit wanting to be somebody's good old boy anymore, and you want to be God's man in your life. You got to quit being at that point where you're covering your buddy's back, which is totally carnal, and where you're living for God, which is totally of God. Are you hearing a difference? You've got to question why you did certain things. And you've got to care why you did those certain things. Are you hearing me? Because now you are a leader and people will rise and fall in accordance with even your example of leadership. Are you hearing me? Now I preach and teach hard things. But you can come to my house, and I'm the same in my house as I am when I'm walking the street. Right? I am what God has allowed me to be, and I am striving to be more every day. And as problem areas are identified in my life, I work on changing them so not to stumble others. Are you getting that? I can no longer be a jokester. I can't be the one that just picks on people until they're so mad they want to beat me up. How many people know what I'm talking about? I can't act like a stinking idiot and expect that person to receive anything I have to say. See, there's some class clowns in here. Nobody listens to a clown. Barnum and Bailey is hiring down the road, but in Christ, there are no clowns. Amen? That is just you striving for human attention, and you need to get God's attention in your life. Are you hearing me? So, we're talking about now you have arrived at the place which is the receiving, right, of God's full promises in your life. It's called your destiny. Are you getting this? Are you getting it? How many people can see the absolute progression from one side to the other? Are you hearing me? You see, it's very necessary that you know where you are and you know where you got to go and you can see it so that you can do the things it takes to get there. The Holy Spirit is in this room because He's all over me and I feel Him right now. Amen? All right? Up to here, you are playing. And when I say that, I don't mean that disrespectfully, but I told you over here when you got saved that you really didn't know what was going on. Right? You really didn't know who God was. You really didn't know anything about God, but you got saved. Okay? Now, it is a question of learning what God is about, what God would have you to be about that will lead you to your destiny. But if you learn things and don't apply things, you don't go further. There is never going to be a day in your life when you are perfect. But your goal every day of your life is to seek His perfection in your life. That's why I'm here to tell you that in these first three stages, a lot of people quit because they like to go out and maybe get laid once in a while. They like to go out and have a beer with the boys once in a while. They like to go out and do this or that once in a while. You understand? They still have not made Jesus Lord in their life. You know, I say that, I'm not trying to be totally carnal. I'm just trying to be very real. Amen? And until you decide that the only thing that you will accept in your life is the destiny and the promises that God has for you, you will not go across that hinge. You will not go across that gap. You will not strive the way you must to get to your destiny until you decide that you want your destiny that God promised you and you will accept nothing less. And that will be your driving force that takes you over this abyss to here. Where you decide, okay, even though I don't like people, I'll be a leader. Okay, even though I don't like all the noise and the nonsense, I'll be an example. Okay, I won't insist on my own personal privacy so much anymore. I know I am now a public figure. How many people know I'm a public figure? Amen? People walk up to me all day long from all over the world now, and they start, "Hi, Dominic," and I'm sitting there going, "Who are you?" Of course, I don't say it quite like that, you know, but, "Hi, Dominic, how's it going?" "Hi, bro, how's it going?" "Hey, where are you from?" "Oh, well, you don't know me. I had a person walk up from Norway. "Hi, Dominic, hey, give me a big old hug and stuff." And I'm sitting there going, what's really going on here? You know what I mean? And what happened was that they saw our show over in Norway, and they know us intimately. We are public figures, those in leadership here, and some of you that have done testimonies and stuff. And people are going to walk up to you, and you see your life is no longer your own. Amen? And if you walk around and act like every other dipstick in town, then that will ruin their expectations of what a man of God should be. And you are to be a personal ambassador of Christ in your life. Did you get that? So today, what I want you to understand is that the first thing that happens after you get saved, right, is God works on your character and integrity. Amen? You need to make your yeas, and your nays. Today, if you want your destiny, but what about the promises of God, Dominic? The promises say that I am a son of Abraham, that all these things that Jesus has done, I shall do also. It says that I shall cast out demons in His name and lay hands on the sick in His name and so forth and so on. Those are the promises. Amen? And the promises come when you decide that you want your destiny bad enough to pay the whole price, not just the average man's price, which is, oh Lord, help me, and now I'm done learning. Are you getting this? Today, I want you to ask yourself, you all got that sheet, where are you? Amen? Where are you? And you know what? I'm not going to have an exam on it. You examine yourself. It says, your works were stand on fall, on your burden, on your load, they are yours. Right? If your works are of straw and hay, they will be burned off in the fire, but you yourself will be saved. Amen? Why? Because God will purify you to start you all over again so that He might build on it once more. Amen? If you've blown it, okay, you've blown it. Be honest. I blew it. But know that you're going to start all over again because your works will be burned up in the fire and you must start once again. Amen? My God is a God of 1,000 chances, and He wants each and every one of you to go as far as you can in your life. But He isn't playing games, people. And you know what? You can't play any either. Not in your own mind, not with other people's minds, but you must be serious and you must be careful in all the things you do in your life if you want to receive the promises of God in your life. And I'm going to end right here, and this is my final statement. If you think you're going to receive the promises of God without the responsibility of acting Christ-like in your life, then you are a fool. Did you hear that? If you want to receive your destiny, you read this and you acknowledge the truth of where you're at, and you ask God to help you to work on your issues. Amen? Because God is ready and willing to work on your issues if you mean it. Did you get that? But do not think that you're going to be mightily used if you just made a big boo-boo. The truth is, you start all over again. That God has burned up those prior works so that you will be saved, so that He can help you afresh to build new works, solid and whole in Him. Father, I love You today, God. I'm so thankful for Your Word and Your truth. And let it be today, God, that each of us just allow ourselves to go all the way, God. Help us to be the man, the woman that You want us to be, so that we might be used wholly by You in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray, and everyone said, Amen. Amen.